Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of God that the Holy Spirit inspired Micah to write is found in the fifth chapter of his Old Testament prophetic book, chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. So far our reading. Please be seated. In the name of the Christ child, dear fellow redeemed. In the world of music, there are a number of popular, enduring songs about well-known cities, like New York, New York. My kind of town, Chicago is, or I left my heart in San Francisco. In the opinion of the songwriters, there's something special about each of these cities to sing about. Even though there hasn't always been a whole lot of good news coming out of these cities, well, yet for one reason or another, these songs have been enduring and we hear them from time to time being sung. There's another popular song about a town that has been sung for many years, especially at this time of year. Back in 1868, a man by the name of Phillips Brooks wrote a song for the Sunday school of his congregation. It's called, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Unlike New York, Chicago, and San Francisco, Bethlehem isn't a very large place. Even when they were listing all the different towns and cities and the tribes of Judah, Bethlehem wasn't included. And it didn't have a very large population. In fact, today it's still relatively small. Its number is about 29,000 people. Yet in spite of its small size and its seeming insignificance, we find Scripture making mention of it on account of notable people in connection with this little town, like Rachel, the wife of Jacob, the patriarch Jacob, and the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. Rachel died there and was buried in Bethlehem. There's also Ruth, the Old Testament, who could be found out in the hills, fields gleaning grain. She also married one of its inhabitants named Boaz. And David, the son of Jesse, was born and raised there, and also in later years he was anointed as king of Israel in Bethlehem of Judea. But then there's another reason why this little town is so notable and is sung about. Many sing about this town because of the glorious news that came out of this little place. This was the birthplace of our Savior, the Savior of the world. In the singing of O Little Town of Bethlehem and other religious Christmas songs, it's not uncommon for people in our society who don't really fully understand the reason behind the singing of such joyful songs at this time of year. To many, the birth of Jesus only represents the entrance of another ordinary human being. Oh, they would say, yes, he was a very noteworthy person who lived an exemplary life. And while he was a model person to follow, still we know that that's not all the Christmas songs are singing about him. Today's scripture text can help people be mindful of the reason why the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem gives us reason to be joyful and to sing about this town. You know, no doubt recognize one of the verses found in this text as oftentimes used as a recitation in the children's Christmas Eve services. It's this one. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. This Bible passage has been singled out and included in Christmas Eve services on account that this is the only reference that tells you where our Savior was to be born, in Bethlehem of Judea. The little town of Bethlehem has long been accepted by Christians as the town where Jesus was born because of the Scripture's clear testimony of this. The angel announced to the shepherds who were taking care of the sheep out in the hills beyond Bethlehem about where they could find this little baby who was born of Mary. The angel said, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The city of David, that was known as Bethlehem. Sadly, there are Bible critics in Christendom today who have called this matter into question as to where Jesus was really born. Some so-called experts say, well, he wasn't born in Bethlehem of Judea. He was born in Bethlehem of Galilee. Others point to him being born in Nazareth. It should be kept in mind that these self-proclaimed experts of the Bible do not accept all the Bible as the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And so we find them speculating and trying to pick apart this or that section of Scripture. On this whole matter of the town where Jesus was born, one theologian is quoted as saying, "It doesn't really matter where Jesus was born, does it? What do you think? Does it matter? Just a little town called Bethlehem? And so why should anyone make such a big deal about it?" The devil loves to hear this kind of religious drivel, because anything that calls into question the reliability of the Scriptures and the testimony about Jesus can cause sinners to have doubts and questions as to whether Jesus was really the promised Messiah and Savior of the world. Jesus' birth in Bethlehem of Judea is important because of the many proofs that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah and Savior of the world. The Bible scholars in Jesus' day recognized the prophecy in Micah as telling them where they could find the Messiah, where he was born, because when the wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the birth of the newborn king, they directed them to Bethlehem of Judea, according to the prophecy. We also receive important information about this prophecy in Micah concerning the general time and the conditions in Israel under which the promised Christ was to come. We read there in Micah, "Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth." The Savior, the Messiah, would be born when God had given up Israel and turned them over to foreign rule. Now, this is also prophesied in the book of Genesis, the timetable of Jesus' birth. We read there, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh," that is Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, "and to him shall be the obedience of the people," that Shiloh comes. And this prophecy was fulfilled when the Roman government took over and controlled Israel. And this was the conditions at the time of Jesus' entrance into this world. And this brings to mind another matter in a newspaper article I referenced earlier. So-called Bible scholars say, you know, you really can't accept everything in the Bible as being accurate, true history. Here again, these high-minded thinkers are sadly mistaken. The events recorded in the Bible, unless clearly identified as a parable, are true and accurate history. In fact, from time to time, we find archaeologists digging up things that bear out what the Bible reported. Now, we don't need that to convince us or to give us more confidence in Scripture, because the Spirit has already convinced us the Bible is true in all its words and parts. So wouldn't the devil just love to have us question the history surrounding Jesus' birth? This would be yet another devilish deception to have us question whether or not Jesus really was our Savior, the one promised to come. The prophetic verses in Micah chapter 5, of course, tell us much more than the time, the condition, and the place of the birth of the Messiah. The Lord God also declared in this portion of Scripture concerning the promised one who was to come forth from Bethlehem that his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now this statement should go far in helping us put to rest the faulty idea that the baby born of Mary was not just an ordinary human being. In this Micah passage, God tells of Jesus' eternal pre-existence. Now, this is not talking about that false belief of reincarnation, that fanciful thought that, you know, souls just kind of migrate in and out of forms, human forms, animal forms, whatever. No. It's talking about Jesus' eternal pre-existence as a Son of God who existed forever in eternity together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The evangelist John testifies in the first chapter of his gospel record concerning Jesus' pre-existence, saying, "He was in the beginning with God, and that he was God." What a wonderful and amazing truth to sing about the eternal Son of God, deigned to visiting our humble place of living, created in a created form of a human being, born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. The special part about Jesus coming is that he came as Emmanuel, which you know means God with us. The eternal Son of God came to this earth as a Son of Man, to be with us in order to work out and give us our eternal salvation. God had to be with us in a human form so that he could live and die and rise again as our Savior. When we consider the significance of Jesus' mission in coming to this earth and compare it with the meaning of the town's name where he was born, we can see in respect to Bethlehem that this was a very fitting place for him to be born. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. Now, maybe one of the reasons they called it Bethlehem is that there was very fertile and productive soil in the areas beyond the town. But then also consider that Jesus said about himself this, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven." Natural bread. I know Isaac loves bread, don't you? This natural bread made of grain is called the staff of life. The eating of it has enabled life, human life, to be sustained, but it can't keep you living forever. You'll eventually die because of the curse of sin. Whereas Jesus is a unique kind of spiritual bread who gives everlasting life. As we spiritually feed on him by listening to him in his word and believing in him as our Lord and Savior, he gives us everlasting life. The prophecy in Micah speaks of Jesus' special work of feeding his flock, saying of him, "And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide." with divine authority and heavenly majesty as the Lord over all, Jesus feeds us with his life-giving, life-sustaining bread, word, that word that tells us of God's unconditional love for us, that his compassion to help and sustain afflicted and oppressed, his heavenly wisdom and divine counsel that directs us down the path of life safely, and his infinite mercy to forgive us day after day after day without fail, and his sure promise of receiving us into heaven when we depart this life. Of those who feed on this bread of life, of those who keep on listening and believing in Jesus as their Savior, the Bible says they shall abide. They shall dwell safely under the protective hand of God to the very end when they depart this life. Now, does anyone need to tell you to eat? Well, you get hungry and you eat, and you know it's important to eat. But this eating of God's word, sometimes people kind of lose sight of it and they lose their hunger for that word. And we know that the Lord has promised, as you continue to feed on this bread of life, God will abide with us and he'll keep us in the faith to the very end. The meaning of the ancient name for the town of Bethlehem, namely Ephrathah, also is very descriptive and very similar to Bethlehem. It has the meaning of fruitful. Ephrathah means fruitful. Jesus alluded to the fruitfulness of his redemptive work when he spoke of it in a symbolic way, saying, Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who are scattered abroad. This fruitful gathering of souls from every race and nation into the family of God as a result of Jesus' redemptive work is what Scripture today says. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. All those who are led to believe in Jesus are the remnant who are gathered into the family of God as brothers and sisters of Jesus. New York, New York, Chicago, San Francisco may have some glamour and splendor that gives people reason to sing about it, but all the people of the world have even more reason to sing about that little town of Bethlehem, because that's the place where our Savior was born. And when you sing that song, O little town of Bethlehem, think about the meaning of Bethlehem, the house of bread, where the spiritual bread of life was born, Jesus, who we're fed with to give us everlasting life. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.